Welcome, everybody, to the Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast. It is episode number 64, and it is your pals, Mario and Brian. Mario, what's going on?
What's up? Tough week this week, trying to get back in the swing of things, but I think we're getting there.
Yeah, we're almost midway through September at this point. So thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Please go to skibumpodcast.com, check out our site, all of our stories, blog posts. Check us out on social media, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast. And we're also on Pinterest now, and I think it's pinterest.com/highfalutins, or just search for us on there. We'll have a bunch of posts, like different pieces of the podcast and images and whatnot. And please go to iTunes and subscribe and rate us. We'd really appreciate it. So, Mario, what's going on this week?
So this week we're talking about how we're going to get ready for the season. We're talking about workouts. We're talking about sweating, 2 days, making shit happen so that you can make stuff happen.
We pick things up and put them down.
That's right. That's what we're calling it. So that's what we do. So,
but before we get started.
Oh, you know what time that is.
Yes.
I hear a cocktail going.
Do you? Way off in the distance?
Way off in the distance.
Perhaps.
So, Brian, why don't you start? What cocktail are you having today?
I'm not having a cocktail. I'm having a lovely, lovely beer. It is from the good folks at the Knee Deep Brewing Company. They are makers of fine craft beers. And this is a India Pale Ale. You may also know them as IPAs.
And In layman's terms.
And it's called Breaking Bud. I don't know how much weed is in this beer, if there is any at all, but it is delicious.
And you just posted that on Instagram. I love the label.
The label is pretty awesome. It looks like, you know, Walter White in his meth cooking getup, except there's some sort of like crazy Incredible Hulk / Grover from Sesame Street green faced monster face man inside the mask.
I actually thought about making Incredible Hulks today.
Oh,
but I couldn't find Alizé.
You were out of Alizé, huh?
Maybe demographically, I wasn't in the right neighborhood for Alizé.
You did not go to a fine liquor store if you cannot find Alizé.
And I didn't want to buy an entire giant bottle of Hennessy because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to drink it all the time.
Well, Hennessy, you can buy one of those little like pocket-sized ones.
The establishment I went to didn't have little pocket-sized ones. I was like, damn, I need a convenience store.
So I don't know if you went to a really classy place or a really ghetto place.
I went to Gary's.
Which is a classy place.
Classy, but they had little airplane bottles, and I'm like, I'd need like 3 or 4 airplanes. Like, yeah, I just want the little pint flask.
You're doing it right for yourself. You can buy a whole big bottle of Hennessy. It'll be all right.
I have the whole little bar thing going. I got a shit ton of
Not Hennessy, we have a shit ton of.
I got a lot of bourbon.
You do, and bourbon's lovely.
I sent a picture of that to somebody the other day. They said, holy crap, I'm coming to your place if there's ever a power outage.
There's definitely a nice selection of bourbons over there.
Bourbons. I'm trying to convert them to a bourbon drinker, and I think I could do it.
Conversion.
I'm going to start them with just the tip. Basil Hayden. But anyway, let's get back to the Breaking Bud.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a very very citrusy kind of IPA. You know, in the lines of like a Pineapple Sculpin, or what was the other one that was comp? Like a 60 Minute Dogfish Head. It's really tasty. If you're into hops,
did you say the drink by the drink by was similar to, right?
The Stone. Well, they're always kind of different.
Yeah.
They're closer to the regular Stone IPA, but yeah, really tasty, really hoppy, really nice. So yeah, if you see it around, Knee Deep Brewing, Breaking Bud, awesome label, awesome beer.
Cool.
Well done, good folks at Knee Deep.
I took my hat. Well played. So I'm drinking Goose Island Brewing Company, which it's funny. I was looking at the label and the goose on the top of it. So this is the Sophie from Goose Island. Now they have the Sophie, the Matilda. They have a few of them, and I guess they're trying to brand them a little bit differently, like more of an upper end kind of, you know, champagne or beer kind of thing. And it's funny. I looked at it real quick. It looks like Loch Ness Monster, right? If you look at it from.
Yeah, it does kind of look Loch Ness Monster-y.
Just take the head, and it's like, that's the goddamn Loch Ness Monster coming out. Anyway,
It looks almost like a, like wine, like one of those like mini wine bottles.
Yeah.
You know, with the way like the typography and the design on it.
The styling is very clean, very like sophisticated, right?
Yeah.
The Matilda, similar bottle, just different color. But anyway, so this is a Belgian-style farmhouse ale, almost like a Saison. Belgian-style aged in wine barrels with citrus peel. So it's champagne color, white pepper aroma, vanilla citrus. Didn't taste vanilla citrus, but definitely I tasted the citrus. Very fresh, very light. Still 6.5 ABV, so it's not, you know, not very mild. But it's a good tasting beer. I tell you what, I could drink a few of these.
Yeah, let me try one of the, a little sip before. And yeah, it was really light and really refreshing, especially for being a 6.5er.
Yeah. And it's weird. Belgian style farmhouse.
Yeah, usually the Belgian style. I know, like, even, you know, like the Belgians that are like the Belgian style IPAs, like the Raging Bitch by.
Oh, I love that one.
The Flying Dog?
Flying Dog.
That one's really good. But that's heavy. That's like a 9%er, I think.
Yeah, the other one, Bloodline, I was drinking all summer.
Bloodline?
It's a blood orange IPA or a pale ale. And it's got the hint, almost like the Sculpin, like the pineapple Sculpin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delicious. I almost got one of those today. I'll get some.
The citrus in there, it's something with the way the citrus and the hops come together. Just it really works, and it makes such a nice, pleasant. It makes a heavy beer seem lighter when it has that citrusy flavor to it, which is nice.
So it says on the bottle, serve in a wide mouth glass.
Mm. Yeah, look at that.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
The other thing I noticed about the bottle is they put the year on it. So I don't know if they're going to try to make this like a vintage where, oh, well, I have a 2009, you know, Sophie versus a 2011. They taste totally different, you know. I don't know if we're going to get that much of a to be a bunch of wine snobs, but you
it's
never
possible.
Know.
Well, and again, you know, like we talked about it earlier, there's only certain beers that you can age. You know, a lot of beers are going to get bad if you age them. So maybe this formula, the way they're doing it and the way they're brewing it, that it allows for that process.
Oh, honestly, wine's the same way. Certain wines you want to drink right away or within, you know, a few, like a year or two. Other wines, like I got Barolos that they're like, yeah, you got to wait till 2024 through 2050 to drink them. And I'm like, there's no way I'm holding on to a bottle till 2050. I'm barely going to try to make it to 2024. But yeah, that's a long commitment.
Now, then again, too, if you have a pretty dope setup and you got a wine cellar and you can, you know, you're buying a couple cases a month, you can rotate your stock. You can be like, oh, yes, look at this one I purchased in 1994 and it looks lovely. And I believe now is the time it can finally be consumed.
Well, that's where you got to forget it and not be an alcoholic and drink everything in the house. You just leave it. You know, just, oh, those bottles. Ah, fuck that. Just don't even worry about those.
Make sure you have your Carlo Rossi. Ready to go. Get the jug, screw it off, and you can bang out that at dinner time.
The Weinstein, right?
That was my my dad's. That's how he rolled. He had the Weinstein. Awesome. He would have his big. I don't even. It wasn't. It was beyond. It was probably a pint and a half, 2 pints, and he would have that of the Carlo Rossi Burgundy with dinner.
I'm allowed one glass of wine a day.
That's how he rolled.
So he just has a bigger glass than most.
He's an innovator.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny stuff. But yeah, so I'm wondering if we're going to get to be beer snobs. We're already beer snobs in this culture, but
it can only get worse. Life is too easy for us right now in America. 1996? No, I think it's 2016 actually.
Whew,
I don't know where that came from. But yeah,
just age backwards and then forwards, like in a matter right before my eyes.
I think there may be a wormhole here. Not positive. Could be a wormhole.
You sport a Michael Jackson jacket, then I'm like, there's a wormhole in this place.
It's like, dude, have you heard that new song, like, Who Let the Dogs Out? It's freaking awesome.
It's like Hot Tub Time Machine
really
with
catch
the,
on.
He sees the cassette player. Yeah. That's awesome.
I love when they see him snowboarding, like, what the hell is that?
Apocalypse Snow, that's what it is.
Apocalypse Snow.
Boom.
Breaking. So good. We got to watch that again soon.
One, two, or three? Or all three?
Two and three, it's just, you know, it's like The Matrix. You know, like, the first one is just so much better than the other ones.
But three had the raft where they were going down the mountain. That was pretty nice.
That's what's like The Matrix. The third one was like the second best one.
That's so true. Yeah,
you know, or kind of like Raiders of the Lost Ark, because we don't count the fourth one because that really didn't happen. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
The first one was awesome, second one was terrible, and the third one was awesome.
You got to keep them coming back. You like do one stinker, you just phone it in, and then like, all right, we got to really bring this brand back.
Yeah, that's right. So yes, but the Apocalypse Snow folks, and that's kind of a teaser for next week, because next week we have a boatload of ski movie trailers that we are going to watch and talk about. And if you go to the website, skibumpodcast.com, you will see near the top of the homepage, we have a blog post with links to all of the ski trailers and descriptions. You can watch them all right there, check them out. And we're going to keep, we've been adding to it the last couple of weeks, and we're going to keep adding as we discover more. And it's funny because you can find some film festivals that, you know, have these trailers and they're playing them. But some of these ones, like, you just, like, randomly find on Twitter or Facebook or wherever that, you know, you're like, oh, I didn't even know this movie existed.
Yeah.
Because I guess, I don't know if the marketing is weird or there's just no, like, this central hub to find everything. You know, it's almost like we're trying to be a hub, you know, have the source for all this stuff, but you just have to randomly encounter it somehow.
Well, a lot of the movies even are sponsored by certain brands. So then even the
those
marketing...
Those are the big ones, though. Those are the ones that always have the big marketing, the Warren Miller, have, the TGR.
Yeah. But they have definitely streamed marketing where their brand is marketed. You know what I mean? Like, they're not everywhere. They're, like, in certain streams. So, like, if you're... It's weird. Like, certain people that like certain products, you could tell, oh, I'm TGR guy. And then other people are like, oh, I'm Warren Miller guy. So it's kind of like... Yeah. It's weird.
Well, remember last year that Tamashii movie?
Tamashii?
That wasn't like a big name sponsored one, and we somehow came across that, and we still haven't watched it. But I'm looking at it right now. It looks fantastic.
Well, the other one was the North Face one, which wasn't marketed very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not largely. And it wasn't, I think it just was available online. But the first night it came out, they played it free. And I watched it. Remember I was texting you?
Oh, that's
you?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And that was, it was an awesome, that was where they were doing the parasailing.
Parasailing,
with
the
propeller on the back.
Fans,
the
fans. Mm-hmm.
That was pretty awesome. And it was a well done movie, but you didn't hear that much about it, you know.
No.
So, like you said, they're everywhere.
It's just a matter of tracking them down, yeah.
They're here, there, and they're everywhere.
Oh, just like Warren Miller.
Boom. Shout out to Jesse. Thanks again.
Thanks, Jesse. You are awesome.
Yeah, and we did talk to the dudes at Hino's. They're gonna get their butt in gear and contact you guys.
We're gonna have a serious after the Warren Miller screening. It's apparently gonna be a pretty interesting night in the Morristown, New Jersey area.
Yeah.
For all the local ski folk.
That's probably gonna have to be an Uber night. I'm calling it already.
That might be a good Periscope night.
We really
haven't done much with Periscope. We've talked about it in the past. Think about doing like our setup and everything with that. That would be probably an ideal night. Unfortunately, it could also be used as evidence.
Yes. It'll have to be. We might have to go out with a handler. We'll see.
Multiple handlers is always helpful. Yeah.
But I think we can make it happen. So we were looking at Warren Miller, which is coming up beginning of November, I think.
Yeah.
And then like the next week, we're looking at TGR Tight Loose, which is going to be like shortly after.
Playing in New York, yeah.
So we're looking at, you know, and you got to look in your local area. There's tons of stuff out, so.
Yeah. You know. Like I said, we've got the links on the website. If you go to skibumpodcast.com, it'll be one of the top blog posts, probably right after the last podcast, so 63. It's listed on there, and you can just check out all the trailers. And if there's links, most of them have links to the website also, and you can go there and check out the tour schedule and any additional information.
Boom.
That's all there for you.
And next is a segment that's near and dear to our heart. We actually, it's funny, so we're putting together this podcast. We're doing it early this week. We actually prepped stuff over the weekend, did a lot of research, and we never reached out to somebody that has remarkably been contributing to our show, just by the goodness of their heart, because they're a cool dude. And they actually, you know, I'll get into after this, but they actually know some of the same people at the ski shop. But right now, we don't have music for this. So we just have, you know, just words for this. But it's going to be Frank's Bean of the Week.
Frank's Bean of the Week.
Frank O'Beards.
So we had the sound clip last week. What happened to the sound clip?
I like it better, like, just
keep it real.
On natural.
Like acoustic version.
Frank O'Beards.
The acoustic version, pretty much.
I like just saying Frank O'Beards, because in my head, I can't not say it, so.
Yeah. So thanks again, Frank, for sending this in. So Frank's Bean of the Week this week is Girl Scout cookies. Now, this was actually
Everybody likes Girl Scout cookies.
Who doesn't love Girl Scout cookies? this particular Girl Scout Cookies, or GSC, is an OG Kush and Durban Poison hybrid cross whose reputation grew too large to stay within the borders of its California homeland.
Boom.
With a sweet and earthy aroma, Girl Scout Cookies launches you to Euphoria's top floor, where full-body relaxation meets a time-bending cerebral space. A little goes a long way with this hybrid. Those THC heights have won Girl Scout Cookies numerous Cannabis Cup awards. Patients needing a strong dose of relief, however, may look to GSC for severe pain, nausea, and appetite loss. So, yeah, this seems like, again, you know, a lot of people will argue that, you know, marijuana has no medical benefits and it's all just a bunch of hippie stoners just wanting to get high. And it's funny, I've been listening to this Hunter S. Thompson audiobook. It's I think it's called like Fear and Loathing at Rolling Stone, like all his stories that he wrote.
Right.
And just him talking about the 72 election and, you know, just the bullshit that was happening then, it's the exact same stuff that's happening now. You know, the lesser of two evils and all the bullshit.
It's been happening forever. It's been going on.
Every 4 years, it's the same goddamn crap. Yeah. But anyway, so.
Can you imagine if they put Girl Scout cookies in Girl Scout cookies? That would be freaking awesome.
I bet someone has.
Now, I buy probably about at least five or six boxes of Girl Scout cookies a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, everybody's selling at work, and I buy from, like, two different people. And then I'm like, yo, man, you got some Girl Scout cookies? Because I got a little, you know, I got to get a fix, like, somewhere middle of the year. I'm like, I'm the peanut butter guy. I'm the do-si-do guy.
Mm.
Love do-si-dos. Samoas, a little too sweet for me.
That's my jam.
Do-si-dos. Do-si-dos and a gallon of milk.
See, I like the Samoas, but I also like the shortbread. The tagalongs? Not tagalongs. What are they called?
Tagalongs, yeah.
Tagalongs are the peanut butter chocolate ones, I think.
Oh, are they?
Whatever the shortbread ones are called. I would do one shortbread with one Samoa together. So it kind of
you're mixing.
It balances out the super sweetness of the Samoa with the mildness of the shortbread.
Now, along with Girl Scout cookie strains, they have other strains. If you look at, so I'm looking at Leafy now, mm-hmm. Leafly, and they say different phenotypes of Girl Scout cookies strain, including Thin Mint and Platinum cookies. Ooh. I love it. So now you can mix Platinum cookie and Thin Mint. With Girl Scout cookie. So you could do that with the cookie and with everything else, which would be awesome.
Yeah. There was one, you know, since, you know, we haven't really announced where we're going yet, and we're going to talk about it in a little
bit. Oh, you could announce where.
I'm almost afraid to. I'm afraid I'm going to jinx it. Like something bad might happen.
Ski Bum Week 2017. Where's going to be Brian?
I don't know about 2017. Dun, dun. That's a year away. I know about Ski Bum Week 2016, right. though.
Well, 2016-17 season.
I live in the now, man.
That's right. So last year was 2015.
Yes.
Wow. We're a year ahead, but a year behind.
This is true.
I like it. It's like we're going back in time.
Wormholes. Again, they're everywhere.
Wormhole in it.
So we are going to be visiting the Pacific Northwest this year for Ski Bum Week.
Boom. And
we're going to be going up to a little local ski hill known as Whistler Blackcomb. So,
or Revelstoke, it could happen. We're
leaving our options open. Yeah, we might do a local. We're gonna fly out to Seattle and
our buddy Nick.
Shout out to Nick,
backcountry Nick.
Backcountry Nick, yeah,
yeah.
So we're gonna be.
He was with us in
there.
Tommy Moe, man.
He's in the Tommy Moe photo. Yeah, he was part of history.
Tommy Moe.
So we're gonna be heading out there. We're most likely gonna be. And we're flying to Seattle. Though we're most likely gonna head up to Whistler, but we've left the possibility out there of hitting, you know, Stevens Pass or one of the local Washington Mountains, depending on the conditions. Again, we haven't really we've locked in the flight. The flights are booked. It's just the schedule after that. We're leaving a bit open based on how things are looking, what things are looking like, and based on what the weather forecast for the fall, you know, late fall, early winter is looking like. It seems like Whistler could be the spot. So we've locked it in. We've committed ourselves. We're going to make it happen.
Just like previous Ski Bum weeks. If there's bad snow, we find other stuff to do. Last year was beer. This year it might be Girl Scout cookie.
It could be a lot.
And Blue Dream. All those other ones, like a lot of weed we can be.
Could you imagine if it was just like the week we had last year where it was just a complete nightmare and
in
terrible
Seattle, man.
Snow?
We'd be hanging out, going to Vancouver. It'd be awesome.
Think about how just destroyed we could be.
We just have a lot of fun.
Well, I was joking with you. I think I sent a text.
Do we get tickets for like a football game or something? Like, it'd be great.
I sent a text to I think it was to you and Nick, and I was like, "How about as punishment, whatever a Whistler lift ticket is, was like $120 or whatever, we'll have to spend that much a day on weed.
That could happen, or yeah,
edibles, whatever. However we do it, we have to consume that every day as punishment.
That's rough." I think we'll go to Stevens Pass for a few days.
I don't care, man. I have to ski. I have to ski or I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but now speaking of Girl Scout cookies, the one I was looking at and particularly found possibly as a must find while out in the Washington State area is Cookie Wreck, which is a hybrid of Girl Scout cookies and Train Wreck.
Hmm.
So.
That sounds good and bad at the same time.
Oh, no. It sounds lovely.
Wow.
Yeah, it seems a little more. I don't know, it's very similar, obviously, but it's a little more potent, I think.
Thinking we might need a handler out there too.
We are gonna need handlers, chaperones, everything.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be an awesome time. So yeah,
we're gonna have to periscope that because there's gonna be some crazy shit going on.
Yeah, there's gonna be some good stuff going on. So yeah, we'll keep you guys in the loop. There'll be more information coming out, and we'll do a little preview, all the things that we did last year when we went out for our trips. So we'll be doing the same thing for Lovely Whistler coming up later this year. But now it is time.
Oh wait, before we get to that follow up from last week,
follow up.
Frank did comment because he knows Derek at High Nose.
Yes, he does.
And he said too. He's like, go to Derek. He's one of the best boot fitters. He also trains some of the best boot fitters. He's like, go there and just freaking say, this is how I want to ski, and they'll put you in the boot that you will love.
Mm-hmm.
And I can attest to that because my boots are freaking awesome.
That's what we talked about on the podcast last week too. You know, you know what you want to do. You know where, you know what kind of skiing you're going to do. Show them your foot. Then they'll put those two together and give you the right thing.
Don't go to Sports Authority because chances are they're not going to have the best boot fitter. They're going to have a guy that generally, they might be nice, they might want to help, but they're probably not going to get the same training as somebody in a really good boot shop.
They're probably just consumed a lot of Girl Scout cookies before.
Exactly.
Well, the one guy I talked to at High Nose also worked at Sports Authority.
Yeah.
But he said the gear they had there was, you know, just way lower level stuff. So, you know, they can only sell you what they have. So yeah. If they only have lower level gear, they're not going to be able to get you the good stuff.
And it's no fault to their own. I mean, they just might not have all that training. I mean, they might be better trained in cleats for soccer or for football, but, you know, just mildly trained in ski gear, you know, whereas that's all a ski shop
does. They're a giant
does.
Store. Yeah, they're a giant store that's got to sell, you know, everything, lacrosse sticks to
golf
camping
clubs.
Gear.
I mean,
and where's Sports Authority now? Empty.
Boom.
Empty, because they sucked at everything.
You know who took it? Dick's. Dick's got bigger.
Dick's got bigger?
Boom. Boom. I had to say it. That's running in my head, too. Dick's got bigger.
Dick's got bigger. You heard it here, folks.
Dick's.
First here, folks.
Every Dick's got bigger.
Yeah, pretty much.
Boom.
So.
That's on the Post. New York headline. Dick's got bigger.
Dick's got bigger.
Fucking Post. I love the Post.
So on that note.
On that note. We got a little ski news going.
We got plenty
There's
of
always ski news.
News. There's always ski news. Yeah, a couple of good stories this week. So first off, Bodie Miller sues Head USA in comeback attempt.
Whoa.
So Bodie Miller, we thought he was retired. He was done. He was going to be, you know, finished with the World Cup circuit. But alas, he is not. So he's trying to come back this year for the 2016-2017 season.
But like, as you mentioned, they have tons of pictures on every article you look at. Oh, it's him crashing. The final crash.
Yeah, some of the...
It's like, oh, come on, man. They got video and shit of just the crash.
Yeah, it's some pretty rough shots. So now, I think we talked about it last year at one point on one of the episodes, but Bodie, like, he actually started his own new ski company, and it's called Bomber Skis. So... He obviously, in this comeback attempt that he's making, he wants to use these new Bomber skis because they're, you know, what he...
He's got a stake in it.
He's got a huge stake in it. And if you go to the website, it's like, I think it's bomberski.com, and there's this video. It's something. Check it out. It's almost like a Apocalypse Snow scenario. he's there like sipping champagne with this lovely lady, and then all of a sudden these like evil skiers come after him.
It's
he's
got to
go
snowman.
Ski away, and a helicopter comes. It's spoiler alert.
And if anybody hasn't seen Apocalypse Snow, look it up. It's free at this point.
It's on YouTube. Yeah, you can
YouTube.
Check it out.
Just watch the whole freaking movie, 1, 2, and 3, and it's awesome.
If you only have time for one, stick with number one.
One is, yeah, you got to watch one.
It's just pure 80s ski glory.
Have some Girl Scout cookies and put on the YouTube.
Ooh, those two together. The soundtrack alone is like, it's to me, it's just
you have Girl Scout cookies and Girl Scout cookies, if you know what I mean. And yeah. Then watch.
The soundtrack is awesome. It's like just synthy and 80s and beautiful. And check it out. You will definitely enjoy it. And you know what? You'll probably watch it and go, you know what? Let's bring on 2 and 3. Watch them all in a row.
It'll make you want to snowboard. It'll make you want a monoski.
You'll definitely want a monoski after watching that. All right, so Bodie, so he's...
Tommy Moe monoskis, just saying.
Tommy Monoski.
Tommy Monoski.
So Bodie's trying to come back, and he doesn't want to... He doesn't want to use head skis, and now he is suing them, alleging that the former sponsor... You had to go there.
I had to go there.
Yeah.
Following the Big Dicks comment.
It's Nickel Beer Night. It's Nickel Beer Night, apparently.
That's right.
Yes.
Dicks got bigger. Bodie doesn't want any more head.
Yes. So they're saying that he's suing because he is alleging that head won't let him attempt a comeback unless he uses that company's skis. So there it is. So, yeah. So he started Bomber Skis, which is a Manhattan-based luxury brand, an artisan ski company.
Highfalutin.
It really is.
Sounds highfalutin.
He really should send us a pair to check out.
Rob Report have some of the skis?
They probably do, yeah. Those and the foil ones, ones that are like $50,000.
The gold ones?
And Arnold Schwarzenegger is part of the company.
Oh, the Schwarzenegger.
So Head USA is contending that his comeback with another ski brand is a breach of contract, and that he allegedly, because of the way the contract is structured, cannot compete for another 2 calendar years. So now they're in Los Angeles federal court trying to figure out if the original contract is valid and if there's a way to void it.
Hmm.
So, and then Head said they're going to try to sue him, and it's getting a little bit ugly. And it seems like what's going to happen is they're going to go back and forth. The lawyers are going to battle it out, and they're going to settle out of court.
They'll settle, yeah, because it doesn't pay for either of them to. He doesn't want to ski for them.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know, they're trying to prevent him, so.
Yeah.
And they're going to get bad press, because, you know, if I'm a skier, I'm like, fuck Head. Why don't you let Bodie out?
That's true.
Just pay, yeah. Just settle something out and get done with it.
You see Lindsey Vonn going over there and, like, undoing his bindings when he's going up there?
You know, I get it, though. Like, you know, you sign a contract and you got to abide by the contract. But if you want to get out of the contract, now you're going to have to pay money. If you don't want to pay money, then ski for Head.
That's true.
You know?
Yep. What's more important to you?
And Head has a perfect right to do it, so it's a legit battle.
He's gonna have to sell a few more pairs of those Bomber skis, I guess, to get to be able to pay off.
So Rob Report features Bomber skis in January print issue 2016.
They're pretty cool looking skis. If you go to the website, there's a couple of different all mountain versions they have, and you know they have like that old woody look to them. They have a couple like red, white, and blue stars and stripe ones.
Nice. They were on the front page. It said.
Oh, are they?
I can't get the article, though.
Damn it. Ooh, wow. These, the AM Woody, which is their all-mountain ski, $2,500.
Damn.
How good do you really think they are?
Bodie likes them.
Bodie. I'll have some funky, really artisanal ones, artistic ones, too, here. They have, like, the, is it Basquiat? Basquiat? How do you, that artist, the French artist? I think he killed himself
back
in the 90s. There's a bunch of like different ones of like, you know, prints of his work. What else we got here? Abstract Pizza. That's one. Basque. There's a camo one.
Basque?
Is it Basque?
B-S-Q-U-E is Basque.
It's B-A-S-Q-U-I-A-T.
Basquiat?
Basquiat.
Basquiat?
There's a couple of movies about him. I know he was like a big...
Cool.
You know, game-changing artists back in the 90s. But yeah, these skis are about $2,500.
Damn.
And I have never read a review on them. I mean, I'm sure they're... I would assume they're going to be good, you know? I don't think Bodie would make a crap ski, but I don't know. These ones here. Here we go. The AM Heritage Bomber All Mountain Skis. $47.50.
Boom.
God damn. 77 waist, too. I guess these are more like a carving racing ski here.
I see. Jean-Michel Basquiat.
Basquiat. Okay.
American artist.
Oh, he was American. I thought he was French. It sounds French.
Born in 60 and died in 88.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, he was super young when he died.
Well, yes. Had to be some kind of drug overdose.
I think it was suicide.
Really?
Suicide or drug overdose.
That's another top. I don't know.
Again, apparently from all my information, I don't know what I'm talking about, so.
Yeah, they have some of his art there. It's pretty cool. Very colorful.
Very colorful. Cool stuff, yeah.
Very strange, too.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, some of those skis are, you know, prints of his, which is, you know, kind of neat.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, these skis are, they're not cheap. So, again, if Bodie wants to, you know, sue Head and he's got to pay them off somehow, he's going to have to sell a few more of these skis. So, good luck, Bodie. You know, we all want to see him back because, you know, he was a...
I hope they just settle it so that everybody's good. Because Head sponsors a lot of athletes. Bodie wants to do his own thing. Get it done. You know what I mean?
That would be the best possible scenario. So
get it done, get it on the mountain. That's all that matters.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see, and when we find out any more information, we'll be sure to talk about it.
Have a talk over some Girl Scout cookies and come to an agreement.
There you go.
That's all I'm saying.
Everything's gonna be all right.
That's right. Can we have some coffee and Girl Scout cookies over here? We're gonna talk this out. Be great. All right, so next we got what the hell is going on at K2. So New School is reporting Seth Morrison and K2 have parted ways after 24 years, so everybody knows about that, but it's set right now against a background rumor that potentially that there's a little bit more significance to the parting. K2 has turned over, like, the marketing has turned over in the last few years. There's a lot of turnover, and they're saying Seth has always been like the key figurehead for them, for their branding and everything. But at the same time, they're suggesting that Newell Rubbermaid, which I never knew Rubbermaid, the little burp before you know, they own K2, which is wild, right?
Yeah, they're a massive conglomerate now.
Yeah.
Newell Brands.
So they're talking about trying to they're not talking about, there's a rumor suggesting that they may be looking to offload the winter sports wing that they inherited with the whole purchase of Jardin Corporation, which owned K2. Mm-hmm. So now they're saying the winter sports wing is worth about $2.74 billion. I'm like, isn't that crazy? Like, oh, that's the other part that we don't want. $2 billion, almost $3 billion worth of business. That's crazy. So they're saying they might want to sell it, which includes K2, Marmot, Vocal, Marker, Full Tilt, and Line, and a bunch of other snowboard brands. So they're saying there's speculation that the whole parting ways is, hey, I'm cutting and running before like shit goes down too. So, or maybe he's just unhappy. I mean, people start rumors for different reasons. Maybe there's truth to it. Maybe there's not. Usually, I don't know. Usually there's some truth to every rumor, but...
Yeah, it's crazy because, yeah, I mean, you know, K2 has just been a legendary brand, and to have this sort of, you know, to have it come to this, I mean, they bought up, you know, Vocal and Line and, you know, those other brands, and now they're struggling, and, you know, being bought up, you know, you always wonder what's going to happen when you become part of a larger conglomerate, and this is kind of the worst case scenario that people always talk about. Is, you know, they get to the point where they're trying to get sold off. And
well, one of two things usually happens. You either get sold off or they spin you off by yourself. So they load on a bunch of debt. You basically pay for yourself to get out. And then you just try to make your own business and you either sink or swim. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's interesting. But you see this happen all the time. Like, you don't realize, like, these conglomerates own all these brands. I mean, just look at the beer you drink. Like, guaranteed there's like, what, three big brewing companies? That's it. They're trying to get down to like two. And it's like, wow, I thought this was like a nice craft brew. No, that's InBev. That's Coors Molson. Like,
and they're owned by Exxon.
Yeah. Philip Morris owns them all. You know, it's crazy stuff. But yeah, this is interesting. Interesting. We'll see what happens with it. But yeah, it's interesting to see Seth Morrison on his own now. Maybe he's going to go to Bomber.
Maybe he's maybe everyone goes to Bomber now.
No, Bodie Miller will go as a K2, and then he goes to Bomber.
Just trading.
It'll
stuff be like off. Soccer, how they can like sell a player for a season.
Yeah. You know,
like he's on loan.
Rent him out.
Seth Morrison's on loan to Bomber for the season.
Oh, that would be funny as hell.
Mix things up, try different skis.
That'd be kind of cool.
Stranger things have happened, right?
They all know each other, right?
They're all pals.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And the final ski story of the week. This is from Active Interest Media, and they had some tips and actually have a course you can take, an 8-week online course. And it's 5 steps to shoot better ski photos. And this was the picture they're showing in this on the ad page is really, really cool. It's, you know, pretty much like an underneath shot of someone like launching off a cliff. And
well, for that shot though, you got to get somebody willing to go off of that cliff, which is a little interesting.
That's true.
You got to talk somebody into that.
That's true.
And we're back to Girl Scout cookies.
We're back to Girl Scout cookies, yeah. So the 5 tips that they talk about are, number 1, get comfortable with your camera's autofocus and use it. Number 2, as with most photography, shoot early and late for the best light. Number 3, anticipate where the peak action will occur, then select your lens and frame your shot accordingly. Number 4, don't forget to overexpose 1 to 1.5 stops, otherwise white snow will appear gray. And number 5, shoot fast shutter speeds to freeze action. So that's 1/1000th of a second or faster. So yes, these are not the things you're going to be using your iPhone to take photos of. This is like legit photographers here.
Here's one that they forgot. Don't give your camera to Anthony Weiner because he's going to take a picture of his wiener.
You're on a roll today.
He might be on a congressman, but now we're back to... Now we're back to the same theme.
See? We didn't have to go there.
Just saying.
We could have completely ignored that. But somehow.
Whoa.
What the hell was that?
That was the
Wiener Gods?
No, that
coming
was,
after you?
That was the video that we have for later.
Ooh, later video.
I was queuing stuff up.
Yeah.
But I like that music. It was ominous. Like, whoa.
Seriously.
I thought Thor was going to come bashing through the wall.
So that wraps it up for ski news this week. All right, now on to our main topic for the week. So this week, we're calling it, we've picked things up and we put them down.
Pick things up and put them down.
So, you know, it's still September. It's still early enough. There's still time to get in shape for ski season. And every magazine always has their, you know, 5 tips, 2 tips, 10 tips, things to get in shape. But we're going to tell you, we broke things down and we came up with some really good information. We've, you know, vetted a bunch of different things. We've got some personal experience of things that we work on, and we're gonna tell you what you need to do if you want to get in shape for ski season, because there is plenty of time. And you know, one of the best things about it is, you know, it's nice because at an older age, when you're not in school and you're not playing sports or not doing it professionally, it's kind of hard to stay motivated sometimes for things. But when you have skiing, you know, you do have something that you can at least strive for, or, you know, set a date to, like, I gotta drop this many pounds, or I'm trying to achieve this goal by this date. So in a way, it's like a new little challenge for you. It's almost like make it like your own professional hobby. Make it important to you. And we're gonna give you some of these
and a lot of it
tips.
Too is, I don't want to hurt myself. So, like, you know,
that is one of the biggest things about it, too.
I mean, as a skier or boarder, I mean, that's one of the things. You're not like, oh, I want to run a faster mile, or I want to ski faster, or I want to board faster. I mean, maybe you are if you're competing. That's different. But, like, for the average dude that's just going out, or gal that's going out and just skiing or boarding, you just don't want to mess yourself up. You don't want to, you know, you want to be able to do a little bit of jumping, a little bit of moguls, a little bit of, you know, trees, like, whatever you want to do, go to the, you know, terrain park. But you don't want to, you know, end that day, like, at the first aid station or in a hospital.
That's the worst case scenario, yeah.
Yeah. Especially as you get, like Brian said, you get older, you know. Your knees aren't as springy. Your tendons aren't as forgiving, you know.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I was reading about and I found pretty interesting was that it talks about, you know, running to get prepared for ski season. And what they talked about was that, you know, if you're just going to go out and be like, I'm just going to run, you know, run 2 miles, 4 miles, you know, whatever, that really isn't necessarily the best thing to do to prepare, because what endurance, I mean, it builds endurance, definitely. But what running over distances does, it develops your slow twitch muscle fiber, which is great for endurance. But if you really wanted to make it more valuable for skiing, make it more relevant, you want to incorporate sprints into your workout because that helps develop the quick twitch muscle fiber.
So I guess it depends what kind of skiing you're doing. If you're doing cross country, you probably want to run, right?
Cross country, that's perfect, yeah.
But you're doing downhill, yeah, now you're...
Cross country is way too much work. We're not talking about that. Talk about fun skiing.
You got to go with the you know, the rifle on your back and ready to shoot. That's awesome.
If you're going to go hunt dinner, that's awesome. That's the way to go, awesome. Yeah.
Way to go.
So then this, I found this on Men's Fitness. They talked about the five best gym exercises to prepare you for the slopes and...
All right, let's see, because I gotta start doing all of these.
Okay.
What do you got?
So, first one they say is the Romanian deadlift.
What? I gotta get a Romanian? How do I know they're Romanian?
You just, well, you know, usually there's like a scent to them. Romanians have a very unique scent.
Do I ask them, but then I gotta like knock them out and then lift them or something? Like, how's that work?
Usually they're very accommodating, allegedly. You know, you just grab them and be like, hey, bro, you're Romanian, I need to deadlift you. They go, yeah. Yes.
Yes, I live. You live.
I lay down, you deadlift.
Or you wait for the Olympics. You just jack them at the...
Yep.
They're Romanian. That's it.
So what you want to do is you want to get a barbell and you want to, you know, grab it about shoulder width, and it's kind of tough to describe. So you want to bend your knees slightly, but you want to keep your back straight and you want to lean forward. So.
And then you lift up from there?
You lift up straight. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're
and you're just going back up like that. You're not.
It really focuses on your hamstrings. That's hamstrings and lower back. That's what it works the most. And this, they say, when you have strong hamstrings, it's very critical in preventing ACL injuries, which is what a lot of you know, big ski injuries tend to be.
You know, it's funny because they have like the Turkish deadlift, which is different. That's a different, you know, ethnicity, but it's a different lift. You're doing it with like. Just a barbell, one barbell, and you start like in a plank and you just get up, like you're standing up.
Are those like Turkish get-ups, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
I've heard of Turkish
different. That's
completely
not
different.
Not even close.
You got to go to Romania, though.
That's you got to go to Romania. That's what they do.
You got to center on the right country.
Yes. Every country has their strengths, and Romania is the deadlift.
Otherwise, you messed up.
All right, next one. So this one I tried today for the first time. So this is the single leg eccentric leg press.
You're an eccentric guy, that's why.
I'm an eccentric guy, and I like to do a single leg eccentric leg press. So what this is...
You're so eccentric, you're like, I'm not doing two legs, I'm doing one.
So you want to... So you use the leg press machine, and you want to... You know, the one that you kind of lay down and press up on. What you want to do is take 60 to 70% of what you can lift with both legs.
Okay.
And then... With you, you sit on... Or you get in position, and you use one leg, and you lower it down for about... 5 to 6 seconds, and then when you're at the bottom, you push up with both feet.
Hmm.
And it's a little bit weird and a little bit awkward, but the reason why they do it is they say that, you know, 80% of alpine skiing is eccentric, so the downward pressure helps mimic when you are going into a turn with inertia, and then the gravity is pushing you into the ground. So this is kind of the way of mimicking, and you go back and forth. You know, you do one leg at a time. And it almost, in a way, kind of, you know, helps replicate or at least develop the muscles that you would going back and forth, turning and skiing.
Hmm.
So I tried this today, and again, it was a little bit weird, and it's going to take some getting used to. But again, it's September. I have another 2 months before hitting the slopes.
2 months is right.
Yep. Next up, we got the medicine ball pump squat. So this is using a heavy medicine ball. You hold it to your chest, lower into a squat position, stay low. And when you pump, you kind of go up a little bit. You have a quick kind of jerky movements. And you do it for a minute each. And that, you know, builds your lower muscular endurance in the glutes, lower back, and quads.
Hmm.
Another one. This is one that I like to do, but I haven't done them in a while. The squat jump. So you start with your feet shoulder width apart, squat down so your thighs are parallel, and then jump into the air.
Yeah.
That one's good. One thing that I do instead that I've been doing for the last couple of months is the jump lunge. So you're doing your lunges, but you're kind of hopping and you're like switching your legs back and forth.
Hmm.
And what that is, it's almost like a telemark action. the way you're kind of like going down low
yeah.
in that position. And it's I use 20 to 25 pound dumbbells and do three sets of 10, well, between 8 and 10. And those, like, if you don't do them for a week or two, you feel it so, like, you just, if it kills you. It's absolutely brutal.
Now, when you do the lunge, you do the moving lunge, so you keep lunging forward?
No, I just kind of, like,
go back. You do lunge and go back.
Lunge and go back,
because that's
yeah.
different. That actually, I think, is better than the, because I've seen people in the gym, and they just kind of go across the whole gym
mm-hmm.
for one set, and then they come back. And it's like, I think you get a better, because you're doing the backwards when you go forward and back. You're actually working both.
Yeah, staying in place forward and back with dumbbells at your sides.
You know, I do the same with the side, too.
Yeah. You start without them, without dumbbells, and then work your way up. But, yeah, especially if you're a telemark skier, that's probably one of the best things you can possibly do. And then the last thing they have on this list is the backwards treadmill walk, which I have not tried yet because I'm afraid of falling off the treadmill.
You know,
I was trying to like figure out what they're talking about here.
There's so many videos of people just falling and just getting shot off, and people are like, ha!
I don't want to be that guy.
I'm afraid of that.
So what it's saying is, it says start walking on a very slowly on the treadmill for the 2 to 3 mile an hour range, and then increase the incline as high as it gets. And then very carefully turn around so that you're facing backwards. Your toes should be pointing towards the end of the belt like you're walking backwards uphill. As you walk, drop to a squat so that your knees are nearly 90 degrees, similar to the tuck position in skiing. This exercise builds strength endurance in the quads and glutes.
Yeah. Interesting. So I tell you, I was cruising on Men's Fitness, and as you were reading this, I was like, I found something else they have is secrets to skiing injury free. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I didn't see that.
And they have these weird ass things. I'm looking at. I'm like, I might want to try some of these. So they have for your knee, right? So torn, bruised meniscus, ACL ligament injuries are extremely prevalent. So they're saying one of the things that they're saying is you get a lacrosse ball. And you roll on it like a roller,
mm-hmm.
and you do it all around the knee. And they're saying the tip is it dramatically decreases your chances of hurting yourself or your knee. So
really?
It's kind of like, I guess, doing stretching and stuff like that. Let me send this thing to you. Hold on a sec. I will send this to you via.
Yeah, anything you can. Again, that's really the most important thing about this is you're going to prevent injuries from happening. You're going to have more fun. And you're going to prevent injuries, which is the two most important things that you want to achieve while skiing.
So you got to look at this, Brian, because it's wild. So they have the lacrosse ball again, and you do it for your ankle. So they have another one for your ankle. The weirdest one, though, is the shins. So they're saying shin bang, and we've all had this. Like when you do a big jump, you land a little bit forward, you get that shin bang.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying you get this like stick, and you roll out. Like by your shins and the front of your calves, and that prevents the I guess it helps loosen up the ligaments and everything there. It's wild stuff. Shoulder using the lacrosse ball again mm-hmm. up against the wall, and you're working that little area right there, just pushing it in. And then they have one for the thumb. Where, like, you're actually stretching out your thumb for tension. I get that all the time from using the poles.
Yeah.
I get, like, it just kills my thumb after, like, 3 or 4 days. And then the back, using the... So they're basically saying you do all these with, like, a lacrosse ball and a stick. So, very, very interesting to see.
A lacrosse stick?
A lacrosse, yeah.
You could use one, right?
you already have the ball, so
hopefully they have a buddy who plays lacrosse, or you do, and you can use their gear.
That's right. But yeah, so that looks pretty cool too. Like, and that's like a, I wouldn't even say it's a stretch. It's like a just a rolling.
It's like a massage, you know, massaging slash stretch.
Yeah, like you do the foam rolling now, right?
You know, when I have one, I don't really use it that often.
Dude, the foam rollers are awesome. You got to use them on a regular basis.
I got the travel one.
You got to get like
I gotta get a real size.
I have a big foam roller, and then I have the one with the knobs on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, like it will loosen up and break up like. Knots in your muscles that you didn't know were there. It's crazy. So this is kind of doing the same thing, but in a different way.
Yeah, and then one other thing we found too, you know, I found a couple of articles about yoga exercises that you can do for skiing, And one article I found had another article that talked about why yogis should not smoke marijuana. So I completely disregarded everything that article and that website talked about. So I found another one that had just six exercises that every skier needs to know. And the first one is chair pose, which is deep strength for the arms and legs while focusing on the powerful breath. It's very similar to a downhill skiing position. And it says you can engage your core and you should hold it for 30 to 60 seconds.
I got to say one comment on that, though, is when you're doing heavy activity, like you run a lot, right? And you've been biking and stuff. But when you bike and you run and you do, like, even like you see guys in UFC do it, controlling your breath is one of the key things.
When
you're skiing or boarding, like, you definitely have to, like, work on that. Like, it keeps your concentration. It keeps you, like, centered. Like, it keeps your body from kind of freaking out as long as you can control your breath. So something to work on while you're doing all these exercises.
And one of the things, too, is you really – every person is different, too, in how much air they can take in through their nose, through their mouth, what's comfortable for them. I know for me, like, when I run, it's like two in through the nose, one out through the mouth. Like, I just found, like, a rhythm that just works well for me, that's most comfortable, that gets me, you know, the most air and which keeps me
– I just know at high altitude my body freaks out because I can't breathe.
Well, everybody's does, yeah. I know, you know, considering – I know I live at, like, 6 feet above sea level.
Pretty much, yeah.
When you get up to, you know, 9,000 feet, your body's just like, whoa, everything is very different here.
Might as well be on Mars.
Seriously, it feels like it. All right, next one of these yoga poses, the side angle. So this pose strengthens the legs and core while integrating mobility between the hip and the spine. So this one is, so you stand about your feet about 3 to 4 feet apart, and then you turn your right toe forward and left parallel, or the heel slightly kicking out. Inhale, arms to the shoulder, bend your knees 90 degrees, slowly reach the right arm, chest forward, place on the ground, arm will be in front next to the shin. That I can't even describe what that must look like because I...
It's almost like a warrior pose, but you're doing a little... Well, no, chair is... You're almost front. Well,
no, we talk chair. This is side angle.
Side angle.
This is another pose.
Crescent lunge or side... Oh, side angle.
Crescent lunge is right after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not even going to read the descriptions now because it's not going to help. You kind of like lean... I guess it's kind of like leaning forward.
Yeah.
Leg kick back. All right, next one's the warrior three, which is... You're standing on one leg, and your another rest of your entire body is parallel to the ground. Triangle is the next one. Crescent lunge, which I think we kind of talked about already. This is out of order, which is why I'm a little confused here. Oh. And then dolphin, which is kind of like down facing dog a bit, but I think you're kind of on your forearms instead.
You curl your toes.
You curl your toes.
I would suggest, too, like, as I've gotten older, like, I actually look to do more yoga. Like, there's hot yoga you could do, which that's really good. It stretches you out a little bit more. The regular yoga is good for me. I like to stretch. But what people don't realize, it's not just stretching. You're doing strengthening while you're stretching. So it's actually stretching the muscle, but actually in a way that it's, like, it's actually holding... And it's getting those, like, stabilizer muscles to like, work. Mm-hmm. And you'll actually sweat. I sweat buckets in not even a hot yoga class, a regular yoga class. I will sweat like crazy.
Yeah, and you're using your own natural body strength. You're developing your control of your body.
So if you want to avoid injury, that's another thing to do. Just do yoga. Whether it's hot yoga, just regular yoga, like, you know, whatever you can find, because it helps with your flexibility and your strength.
Even if you're really new to it and you're, you know, uncomfortable and don't want to go to a yoga studio, there's plenty of great free videos online.
Yeah.
You know, YouTube.
There's apps now.
Check it out. Yeah, there's apps.
The Xbox, they have the, you know, PS4 has it. Like, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. And then one other thing that I included in here, you know, being a hockey player and a hockey fan, I found this Henrik Zetterberg single leg workout. So Henrik Zetterberg is one of the, you know, top level elite players in the NHL and has been for over a decade now.
Who's he play for?
The Red Wings. So he has this video here, and you know, we'll have it in the show notes. You can check it out, and it shows what he does. And you know, it's all, again, everything is individual legs. So he's got his box. He's on you know, one leg, you know, on it, and he's kicking up the other. Like, say, he's got his right leg on top of the box, has dumbbells in his hand, and kicks the other leg up. So there's that. There's, you know, the single leg squat on there, and then a bunch of other exercises. And again, he is an absolute beast. And at first, I'm sure when you try these, you will not be able to perform them quite as nicely and elegantly as Henrik Zetterberg. But it's one of those things, you just got to keep doing it and keep practicing and keep working at it. And eventually, you develop those muscles up, and you're able to achieve those things. Get that. And the key is to make sure your form is right. You know, that's, if you can keep your form right, you're not going to get hurt. You're going to build up your strength, and you're going to have more fun skiing. And that really, at the end of the day, is what's the most important thing.
So every trainer I've talked to always says, if you do form, you could do a lot less weight. Most people do crappy form, more weight, thinking that that's a better workout, and it's not.
It's terrible. There's this one guy I see at the gym, and I laugh at him every single day. Not to his face, because that's mean. But he does, like, bicep curls, like, every single day.
Yeah, that's not good.
And he just, like, you see him, he just, like, closes his eyes, and he's like, go do him as fast as he can, like, just these stupid-ass dumbbell or barbell exercises. And he's, like, a little dude, and he has tiny legs, and he keeps just working his biceps all the time. And I'm like, dude, you have no idea. Like, just... It's funny. But again, people have different reasons for going to the gym. I get it. But
yeah,
to just have no clue. I mean, he should be gigantic. He should be like jacked and shredded, but he's none of these things. And you got to think like, okay, I keep doing the same thing and I'm not where I want to be. Maybe I got to change something up.
I actually worked out for a while at a gym where there were a lot of like people that would compete in, like, you know, the posing and all that stuff. And I was talking
about, is that a sport? It's kind of stupid.
Whatever it is, they have great bodies.
I want to get gigantic.
But I was actually talking to one guy one time. He's a trainer, and he was saying, he's like, no, there's like different ways you start training. So like, if you're trying to level up, you might do the force, like where you're trying to, you don't do great form, but you're trying to push your body to build more muscle, mm-hmm. so that you can actually get into great form. But you don't do that every time. Like, you do that once in a while. Then there's other workouts where you see people doing really slow, like, and that's like a way to do, like, to build differently. So it's kind of interesting, like, if they really know what they're doing, you mm-hmm. could tell, like, okay, that's part of their workout. But there are so many people that, like, are ready to hurt themselves at the gym.
The majority of people have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
And even just, like, again, watching a couple videos, just getting a couple exercises down solid, you know? Yeah. And
don't worry about the weight. I mean, the weight, unless, even if you're trying to build bulk, you got to do the right form, or you're not going to build the right way.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy stuff.
No, it's true. And even again, if say you give your form down, it's good too to mix it up. Like, some days you want to do your exercises fast, use a little bit less weight, do them fast, but make sure your form is right. And then other days you want to do less reps and more weight.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, it's way of kind of shocking your muscles too, because that's how you develop, how your muscle breaks down and gets bigger, is if you shock them. So if you do the exact same thing all the time, they're going to be like, oh, here we go. We know what we're going to do. We got this. You know, when you maintain, everything stays the same.
Yeah. I actually looked up too, like, so last week I got into a conversation with somebody at work. So I started looking, you know, online at a few things just for health aspects. I went through a whole bunch of like just physicals and stuff. This time of year, I get all my physicals done before the end of the year or whatever. They came back great. But like, I always look at like, okay, so what should I be doing? Like, cholesterol, this, that, whatever. But I looked into workouts. So we started talking about, is it better to work out high intensity all the time or low intensity all the time? And basically it came back that high intensity, there's a benefit to working out when you do super high intensity, because you open up like passageways to your body that are just like key for like getting optimal performance. Mm-hmm. But if you do that all the time, it's going to wear your body down. You know, you can't do that like 5 days a week. You can do that a few days a week, and it's great to do, you know, push your body or even during a workout. But they said, if you want the long-term benefit of working out, you're better off doing half hour a day just work out and do your cardio, do your weights, you know, whatever. But getting that consistent workout has better overall health effect. But if you're looking for optimal performance, you have to push yourself to do that super high workout once in a while.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
You know, like you go skiing and boarding. I mean, you're pushing yourself. You're going for a crazy day, at least part of the day, you know?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different things out there that you should be doing now. But luckily, now is the time, because it's still pretty early, that you can start doing these and be ready and have a great ski season, which is what we're all about helping you guys do, what we're looking forward to doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, please check us out. We have links to all these exercises. There's some videos on there. Check it out at skibumpodcast.com.
Yeah, you know what time it is.
That's right.
Time for...
Under the Ropes.
Under the Ropes. Rebranded.
Rebranded.
All right, so first up we have... I'm a New York Jet fan. Jesse James Decker, the wife of... what's his first name? Eric Decker.
Doesn't matter what his name is. He's got a new name.
So he scores a touchdown. She tweets out... She posted a Snapchat after he scored the touchdown about his penis size. Now, she posted touchdown Big Dick Decker on her Snapchat. So it was pretty funny, because after that, like, there was like a flurry. Not only did it like, you know, resonate with a lot of people, you know, to just start commenting, but the comments were pretty funny.
Shouldn't it be hyphenated? Big Dick?
Big Dick. Yes, it probably should be hyphenated.
No, I guess it was a positive thing, right? It wasn't like, I such a big dick.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Maybe she meant it not a positive. He's such a big dick.
Such a dick.
Like,
he didn't, like, you know, mow the lawn that week, you know, didn't take the garbage out, left the toilet seat up.
So then after that, she comments, baby. And then all these fans are like, flexing the big old cock. And another guy's like, veiny and all. And then somebody's like, Eric Decker's wife has no chill. That's funny as shit. So they were on a reality show. If anybody doesn't know this story, like, they were on a reality show. They did, you know, so they're used to, like, airing, like, a lot of stuff out. Mm-hmm. So it's always good, especially for the New York community, to get, like, some funny stuff like that.
I wonder how many glasses of wine or margarita she was in when she posted that.
Oh, she's posted weird shit before too, so it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So following that, it's a very romantic thing for her to do. You can also get romance at 30,000 feet in the air.
Oh, can you?
So there's a dating app which I believe was beta tested, and it's getting ready to launch, or it just launched, so it's kind of still in its infancy. It's called Air Dates. And what you do is you check in if you're getting ready to fly or if you're in an airport. And the idea is, so if you're in the airport, two ships passing in the night.
Strangers in the night.
You're at a lounge, maybe getting a few drinks before your flight, and hey, maybe you want to say hi to somebody. Maybe you can, meet up with somebody. So you set up your profile using a Facebook account. And there was this girl, Erin Carson, who wrote this article for CNET. She actually went through the whole process. So she signed up. She was flying. She had to fly to different places because she was going to, I think it was TechCrunch Disrupt or whatever. And so she did it on that trip. And she said, it's funny reading her account of it, because she signs up for it, signs up with a Facebook account, basically notifies that she's on the prowl, and there's a radar, like, telling her who's around.
On the prowl.
So it's almost like Tinder, where, like, you have your little radius, but it's a much smaller radius. So they're trying to pair you with people that are almost, like, in seeing distance of each other. So one person that came up on her radar, I guess she said she saw who he was, and then his wife came over and was like getting the tickets and getting ready to go. So she said it can be really messed up and creepy, but I guess these people just sign up for stuff and they either don't pay attention or don't care. So it's pretty interesting. And then they also have a, so the idea is, like, if you're in the airport, if you checked in for a flight, you know, it'll help you talk to other people. Now, if you're on a flight, here's the weird part. You're on a flight. It'll connect you via Wi-Fi to other people that are on. So she said actually when she was on, there were people on her plane that were on it. So it's like, hey, you want to talk to somebody in, you know, row four, they're on this too. Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. It could be kind of creepy, kind of weird, but
it could be like a 10-hour flight and you talk to setting up, you know, talking to someone and it's just awkward and you can't get away.
Yeah.
Where do you go? Besides the bathroom.
What is the person next to you? You're like, I got to talk to you the entire freaking flight.
Or what if you're just so not interested?
Yeah.
And the person, like, just keeps hammering.
They keep coming by.
Where else are you going to go? You can't hide.
So there's another app they mentioned, too, Sky Check-In. So you check into your flights, and you start talking to other people that have checked in also. So, like, you know they're going to be on the flights or something like that. And then there's Miss Travel, which tries to help you find a travel companion, which I guess is cool, but I guess they're trying to pair you up, people that are taking the same flight to the same city, like, I don't know, maybe share a cab or something.
It's like Uber Pool.
It's weird.
Yeah. But yeah, it's amazing the way that technology is attempting to bring people together.
You know what you could also do, too, is if you see somebody attractive in an airport or on an airplane, you go over and just talk to them. That works, too.
That's an option as well. Sometimes you need a
you don't need
digital wingman.
You don't need a profile to get...
digital wingman.
I'm sorry, your profile doesn't say that we're compatible. You just go talk to the person. How about
digital
that?
Digital wingman.
Digital wingman.
That's what it is.
My digital wingman said that we might be matched up, so...
Yeah. Speaking of digital wingman, so David Ortiz is test driving a beef jerky delivery drone.
Why is this not surprising?
Is there a better wingman than a jerky drone? Let's be honest.
Damn.
So the best innovations and inventions are things we never knew we needed, like a drone designed specifically to deliver beef jerky to its user.
Beef jerky.
There is amazingly a prototype that does exactly that, and it's called JerkyBot. And it combines a wooden butcher block with drone technology to create a snack tray that follows you wherever you go. So the company that came up with this genius little product is called ThinkMoto, and they're a New York-based marketing firm. And they've come up with some pretty crazy stuff in the past, like the golf cart jetpack, the popcorn that shoots each kernel into the eater's mouth, and the shaving helmet.
Shaving helmet.
But now they've got the jerky drone.
I love the video. Like, he's like mowing the lawn, and Think comes up to him. He just takes some jerky off of there.
Yeah, they said some of it was CGI, but yeah, they. I guess it must connect to your phone, right? And then just wherever your phone is, just stay within distance of your phone. I'm guessing
follows you around.
Yeah,
because you might need beef jerky at any time. You wake up in the middle of the night. What's there hovering? Thank you, Jerky Bot. I need my beef jerky.
Well, saying one of the challenges is the battery life at this point. So you know they have about 30 minutes of fly time, which is pretty good. But
that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Because how much jerky can you eat?
Oh, you have no idea how much jerky I can eat. It's uncomfortable, it's disturbing, and it has been disclosed and shown in all my physicals that I got to reel it in. My sodium levels are way too high.
You're all backed up because you got jerky just clogging everything up. That's crazy.
But yeah, so this is pretty cool. So David Ortiz, you know, I'm not a Red Sox fan. He can go fuck himself. But I do like this whole jerky drone system they have here. So JerkyBot, stay on top of that.
Man, you'd have one at work all the time, wouldn't you? Just following you around, going to a meeting. It's like, oh, excuse me, meet my jerky.
Probably, yeah. Well, now the question is, so it's going to... So I'm looking at this thing, and now I'm getting a little annoyed at it. So where is it going to go and retrieve the jerky?
Oh, you got to set it up.
It's not like it's making its own jerky. And then I can use it for anything then. Why just jerky? Why not a pancake? Why not Fritos?
But it's made for jerky.
What about it makes it jerky specific?
Well, it's a cutting board. So you could do like a flank steak. Have it deliver flank steak to you.
So now it's not a jerky bot anymore. Now it's flank steak bot.
That's true. It could do both.
What if I want to have some Girl Scout cookies on there? It could be like weed following you if you want.
Oh, no, there's a separate one for that.
Yeah, it's a separate one. Okay, it looks like a pizza box.
That's a blimp. Oh, blimping it.
What about a pizza box? And you get the pizza inside and you have your weed on top.
Blimp, you get like 20 hours or
the blimp's too slow.
Oh, no, you get the blimp.
The blimp is too slow. The drone is at least moving. It's hauling.
The idea is you got places to go. Helium in the blimp keeps it up afloat, and the drone's just like flying it back and forth.
It seems like a lot of work.
Talking power savings there.
Yeah. Now, what if they made this drone solar powered? So you're outside, it's just going to keep running. You can't stop it then.
You don't have jerky in your basement? Just saying. It's checking your wine collection. You got your jerky bot in here.
Well, if it's solar powered and you have like a jerky stash outside, it could like roll up to
jerky
the
stash.
Like a jerky depot. Oh. And like go to your jerky depot.
But now you need the jerky depot. You got to invent that too.
Fuck. There's just too many steps to this.
You got
to
go under and like is motion sensor or, that drops the jerky.
I think I just figured it out. We can combine both of our loves, the drone and the blimp. The blimp could be the mothership. The jerky mothership.
Multiple drones coming in dock.
Exactly.
Oh, and it's solar charging.
That's where you're
outside.
Picking up your jerky is from the mothership blimp. And then like, they're all just going out individually delivering their jerky.
And while you're at it, you could have the jerky one. You could have the
Girl Scout cookie one.
Like all different drones. Mothership.
Why isn't there some sort of like weed space station that you can just go and get deliveries?
Mars.
There's international waters. International,
yeah. If you go
weed blimp,
if you go like really high, do you get into like international space?
You guys want to get high?
You get high.
Why isn't there a giant blimp over the Atlantic Ocean that's got drones delivering weed from it?
Because it would be overtaken by gambling hookers.
Al-Qaeda?
Gambling hookers would outrule them. That's why.
I think we're onto something.
I think if you want to go on a cruise, you go on a sky cruise on a big-ass blimp.
Snoop cruise.
Snoop-a-loop. Snoop-a-loop-a-loop.
Soul cruise.
Soul cruising out,
like,
man.
Like soul plane, but soul
you
cruise.
You're damaging the shit out of ozone. All right,
now, so we're still talking drones at this point.
Got to figure out the mothership idea.
The
like
mothership
that.
Idea. That's the only way you can do this.
Mothership.
Only way it's viable. You're over international waters. No one can give you any trouble. You can do what you want.
Every home should have a mothership.
Mothership.
Actually, neighborhood. You sell them by the neighborhoods.
Sell them by the neighborhood.
Like it.
All right. So still speaking of drones. So the famous Dutch National Police.
These guys are crazy.
They are training their bald eagles to take down airborne drones.
That's awesome.
So, you know, the jerky bot people are trying to get drones up there and delivering jerky, and now these freaking Dutch bags are trying to take down those drones.
Hey, but that bird wants the jerky. That's the thing.
That's the whole reason. That's how they...
It's a fight for jerky.
How do you train them? You train them with the jerky, you know? Like, they're like, oh, you know, you train them, you inspire them. You go, look, it's the jerky drone. And you go up there, and then, of course they're going to get it. If it was...
they're going to jump on it, man.
Why wouldn't they?
You have Girl Scout cookies on there. You got... People jumping at that thing trying to take it down.
Yeah. So they're collaborating with a company called A Guard From Above that trains raptors to snatch drones out of the sky. The tests were so successful that the Dutch National Police reported that the police force recently purchased juvenile bald eagles that it plans to train. Agents will work with the eagles hand in glove, literally, because eagle talons are extremely sharp.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So think about, like, they talk about in the article, I think, right? The size of the drone and the size of the bird. So now you start breeding birds that are super big just to take down, like, freaking everything, man. Eventually, they'd be taking down F-16s. Big-ass super birds.
Most American goddamn thing ever.
That's right. God bless America. We got the freaking eagles out there.
Instead of having to go and do drone strikes, just send in the eagle and just have, like, train them to know who to grab.
Just let him eat everything.
Guy's like, I go to the bathroom now. Kids come in and just pull him up.
Just like eat part of him and leave.
It's not a bad idea.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Just like swarm in. Swarm. But they have this whole, like, the video on here, they have this whole scenario where they're saving the diplomat. It's pretty funny how they set it up. I understand, like, it makes sense. But the way they position everything and dramatize it, it's pretty funny.
They have to find, like, the positive, happy use for this insane idea.
That's like what they did. Yeah. They're like, we could train bald eagles to do this. And like, all right, we got to sell this to people.
It's like, you know you're only going to do it to kill people. You're not going to save anybody.
They're just going to do it to have...
Come on. We know. It's only going to be used for murdering.
Oh, that's crazy.
And we're not even done talking about drones yet.
All right, what else we got in drones?
One more drone story. So the good folks
big drone
at,
story.
At, I think it's pronounced GoPro. GoPro? They have released their new product called the Karma, which is a drone that folds up and fits in a backpack.
It looked pretty cool.
It looked really cool. So they've been teasing this for a while now, and it's now going on sale October 23rd. It is $799, or you can get the new Hero 5 with it for $1099.
Boom. At a discount.
So it has a really elegant foldable design, which is easy for storing and carrying. It even includes a small backpack with the drone. And you're able to control this quadcopter from the clamshell-shaped controller. On one half of the controller is a touchscreen display, and on the other are two joysticks with a bare minimum of buttons. You can use the controller to set up a cable cam mode, too.
You know what I think is pretty funny and ironic and I like about this? So they have... The gimbal can be removed for the drone for handheld use. And they're saying it's an idea that Chinese electronic company UNEC included in its Typhoon drone. So they stole technology from the Chinese. In your face, China.
Merca.
We got something back.
And we modeled it after our giant bald eagles that we're creating.
Apparently. And they probably sent it to the manufacturer.
Yeah, right. They're all made in China anyway.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So one of the nice features about it, too, is that the drone has the camera positioned on the front, not slung underneath. This says that GoPro says that this will help eliminate the appearance of rotors, which can crop up in your shot if you're flying a DJI or a unique drone forward at full tilt.
You know, I was talking to somebody about a drone the other day because they have like a little drone. They play around with their son. And they said the worst part of it is they're actually trying to mark one side of it because they said when it's far away, you can't tell which way the camera's pointing because it's symmetrical.
Yeah.
So they're like, they don't know because it goes so far away. They're like, I can't see the camera from there. Oh. I didn't think about that. I was like, wow. So now if this is on the front, you kind of can see where it is.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, and you know, kind of mentioned the Hero 5. So that's the new camera from GoPro that also... was unveiled at the same conference or the same...
It's just something to follow. People around take selfies of them. It's going to be like video selfies. Like, here's me walking down the street. Here's me getting my mochaccino.
Yeah, right. So the new camera was pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
It kind of combined the silver and the black edition. So it has all the features, you know, but it also has the back screen.
Platinum.
A lot of them didn't.
Platinum. Silver and black. Platinum.
It's just black. It's blackalicious. They also have the new Hero 5 camera, which is the little tiny one.
Mm.
It doesn't have all the like the screen or the little LCD on there. So they released that as well. So GoPro released a lot of cool new stuff this week.
Well, they were getting hit pretty bad because they lost market share. Well, they lost, like, their stock took a tank.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess everybody's been speculating, well, what the hell's coming next? And this was one of the big... one of the big things.
Well, one of the things now, they have people like Nikon who are releasing action cameras too and, you know, challenging the market that they sort of, you know, created. And now they, you know, they have been planning having this drone for a while and now it's finally out. So it'll be cool to see, you know, what it's like. Because Nikon also released a couple new cameras this week as well.
Well, that's just it. Like, once you buy a GoPro, you're like, well, I have a GoPro. I can just mount it on a bunch of stuff. Like, I don't need to go out and buy another GoPro. So that's kind of like, all of a sudden they saturate the market, and it's kind of like, all right, they're waiting for these cameras or an upgrade to happen.
Mm-hmm. You know?
They're actually saying the next big push, so drones are going to be the one, and then they said the next one may be dash cams for cars. They're becoming very big.
That's becoming a thing now, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen them on people that ride motorcycle and bike because of road rage and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting stuff.
Yep.
All right. Next we got, there's a cow that's hiding. Huffington Post posted. So, just last week, there was a person in the UK that was, you know, they work for The Guardian, and they were, I guess, looking at Google Maps, and, you know, they were looking at the street level view, and they had this area where they're in, like, just a farmland area, and they noticed that they had a cow with the face blurred. So Google does that automatically. They have this technology that just goes out and blurs every face so it doesn't show any people. It blurred this face of this cow. And it started this internet sensation because people were like, oh, my God, look at this. Like, it's a cow in hiding. So it was pretty cute. They just said, you know, it's great to see Google takes cow privacy seriously. And it is pretty funny because he's next to another cow that they don't blur the face. It's like he's witness protection cow.
It's Jimmy Hoffa of cows.
Yeah, it's silly, but it's funny as hell. So, yeah, you got to look at it. It's we have the link attached on our website, and it's pretty funny.
Would that be skibonepodcast.com?
I believe that would.
Oh, very nice.
I wonder what other stuff they have in there. You go into Street View, start looking at stuff. Because I see signs blurred. Like, because sometimes I'm looking, like, where's that store? Where's that? Whatever? And they have the sign blurred. I'm like, God damn it, I don't know if that's the place now. But it's pretty funny.
All right. And now another big event coming up next week, the 2016 Monaco Yacht Show. So I don't know about you guys, but we here at the Ski Bum Podcast, the Highfalutin Ski Bums, we are big into yachts.
Yachting?
Even more so into super yachts.
Oh, yeah.
And
we get Yachting Magazine every time.
We do. And I am completely obsessed with Monte Carlo. I mean, I've never been there. It's one of those places, like, I have to go to. It just seems so ridiculous and opulent and insane.
Do you want
to
play Baccarat there?
What else could you play there?
I don't know if there's any other games.
I think they actually hunt humans there, too, if you want.
They don't have craps there. That's, like, on the other side of the casino. Like, it's outside
the
casino.
Yeah. That's in the alley.
Yeah, clang, clang. Rolling the bones.
So, yes, it's Yachting's marquee event, the 2016 Monaco Yacht Show. And it's 4 days worth, and 34,000 yacht lovers, owners, and other aficionados will walk the docks to see 125 of the world's newest and most spectacular super yachts.
That's a lot of goddamn rich people, is what I'm saying.
Right? So now, the latest trends in yacht technology they're talking about this year are absolutely insane. And one of them is, like, alfresco cinemas. So you pretty much have your own
cinema
outside on your yacht
because you don't want to be inside. The cabin's big enough.
It's very gauche to have it inside.
That's right.
And you can have it by the pool if you want. I mean, there's different options.
Well, because you can't show off to people around you that you have a cinema unless you have it outside.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's got to be outside to be seen. Exactly. So that's a big one.
It's like a driving movie, but you can't see it because we won't let you that close, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Dude, those things are amazing, though. You look at them, you're like, that's like my apartment, man. It's like bigger than my apartment.
Right. There's also on the Apple Watch and, you know, iPhone and iPad, there's some, you know, some instead of smart home, smart yacht technology that allows you to control lighting, to summon a butler for requesting drinks.
Oh, that is so useful. On you have a big ass yacht. Dude, I'm not getting up to get my own stuff. There's a long walk.
Right? You can just tap on your watch and have a couple of margaritas coming out.
Smithers, get me a margarita.
That's not a bad way to go.
Well, you know, just to, you know, to make it sound more practical, you're saving, you know, they're over there already, so you're saving the trip. Because it's wasted energy, right? So you're conserving everybody's
energy.
It's all
that efficiency.
It's all efficiency.
Next big thing is different elevator and also bar video screens.
An elevator? You got a fucking elevator in there?
Of course. How else would you get up and down the different levels of your yacht?
Well, because you don't want to move. You just kind of like, just carry me upstairs.
I mean, seriously.
Roll me into the elevator and just, you know.
So there's some companies that actually create like a virtual aquarium within the elevator. So you're in there and you just see like this virtual aquarium inside of the elevator. Instead of looking at the boring mirrored screen, looking at your beautiful yacht going self for 3 minutes or 14 seconds, depending on how long your elevator ride is.
I got to price out some of these yachts.
And one of the things that they show in this picture is they have a bar, and they have the bartender behind the bar, and on the bar itself, there is like a menu, and you see all these different drinks, and you can just pretty much like point on it, and your order will...
It just mixes it for you?
I don't know if it mixes it for you, but it'll summon one of the commoners to create this beverage for you.
Bring that to me.
Yes.
Wow.
So freaking dope.
You know what's crazy? So if you look at Yachting Magazine, right, they have all these yachts, they show them, kind of like this thing. And then you start figuring out, okay, I have the, you know, $15 million it costs to build one of these. And you go, and there's like 2-year wait list, 3-year wait list. So it's like, then you get into, okay, well, how many more millions would I have to go to, you know, to give you to put me at the beginning of the list? You know, like, I want mine in 1 year. Okay, another $1 million. Okay, great. It's crazy.
Forget it. You can't make it happen. You're too poor.
That's right. You're going to have to wait forever for your yacht.
Yeah.
You might have to get one used. Oh, my God.
The next big trend, LED embedded hulls. So,
party yacht.
You know, every boat looks the same. It's white. Maybe it's, you know, gray or blue.
You but could have these, your face on the side of it.
You can pretty much have anything. It's just an LED screen on the side of the boat.
Instead of a movie theater outside, you are the screen. That's when you know you're baller.
You can have your drone following you, covering your footage, and just displaying it on your LED.
Well, because it's going to be on the outside of the boat, you need drones so you can watch your boat that's showing the movie. That works too.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can LED screen your hull surface pretty much and have it show whatever you want it to show at any time.
It's incredible.
It's beyond incredible.
Well, the best part was when they show the close-up of some of these yachts with the bays open and stuff. Mm-hmm. I remember looking in the magazine, and one of them had the bay open. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I thought it was like one of these boathouses where they have, like, you know, they had the bay open, and they had a boat in there, and they had, like, two jet skis out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I looked closer. I'm like, that's the side of the yacht. They actually just open the side. It's like big two garage doors. I'm like, that's a giant yacht. Like, you don't realize how big these things are.
Ugh. And then the last trend in superyacht technology, this one I don't even understand, see-through TVs.
See-through TV?
Yes, yeah, so you have
how
a
are you
TV.
See the TV?
Well, apparently it's used when there's, you know, if there's too much light, I guess.
Is it so highfalutin like you imagine there's a TV?
Yeah, right.
Just imagine for a minute that there's a show playing.
Yeah, they're viewable indoors and out, unaffected by ambient light conditions, and they have options up to 110 inches and can do custom design frames.
You know, the best part is they're talking about the size of some of these, and they're like 208 foot. 208 foot. Now, the first cruise ship I ever went on was a small one. It was a nice ship, but only went to Bermuda. It was 500 feet, 550 feet. So this is half the size of a cruise ship.
It's pretty much, yeah.
I'm like, God damn. Now I know why you need a butler or somebody to help you because it's a big-ass ship.
Yeah, they're showing the Damon. Is it the Damon yacht? And it's 181 foot and it's got a helipad on it.
Oh, of course.
That's the way to do it.
That's
so you can get off if you need to.
Oh, you want to get somewhere quick? You want to go shopping? Boom, we're going.
Yeah. Yeah, so Monaco has their yacht festival starting this week.
Let's say you want to make Incredible Hulks. Let's go fly into shore. We'll get our Alizé and our Hennessy, and we're making Incredible Hulks. Boom.
You could have a drone bring it to you. Wouldn't that be easier?
That's right. This one's 238 foot.
So it'd be so nice to go from Burning Man to Vermont Beer Week to the Monaco Yacht Show. That'd be the best September.
All in your yacht. Roll the yacht into Burning Man. Put it on wheels.
You could do that.
Just saying.
With enough drones carrying it.
Helicopters, drones, blimps. Yeah. Blimp it.
Blimp it up.
Heavy lifting blimps.
All right.
I like that. I'd have my blimp follow me the whole way.
Definitely. All right. Last story.
It's like a treehouse. Blimp treehouse. All right. So now, New York City, they have a, there's a story now. So the Guggenheim Museum in New York, anybody doesn't know, really good museum, but they have a lot of like specific artists featured. So they're unveiling an 18-carat gold toilet. So
I'm sure it's breathtaking.
It's breathtaking. So it's part of an America exhibit at the Guggenheim by Italian artist Maurizio Catalan. So he replaced the toilet in the museum in one of the restrooms, the fourth floor restroom to be exact, with a fully functional replica cast in 18-karat gold. So it's entirely made of gold.
Is it the America collection or the America fuck yeah collection?
America fuck yeah. Now, you might think like, okay, it's a crapper. Why are you saying America? But I guess the idea is it offers a wink to the excesses of the art market, but also evokes the American dream of the opportunity for all by allowing viewers to go use the gold toilet alone. In you go in there and you use it alone. Now, I used to work in retail. I used to see a lot of like displays and stuff like that. That thing is going to be gone in like a day. There's going to be the toilet seat's going to be gone, which is like, you know, $200,000 worth of gold. Like, some crap's going to happen.
Yeah, could you imagine this was like New York 1984? The thing would be gone already.
Gone already. I remember I was at a Toys R Us in Manhattan. They just came out with the new Xbox, I think it was, at the time. And they had just installed this, like, you know, locked up, you know, display where it's locked in there and, you know, kids can play and you play the demo. Mm-hmm. The thing was gone within an hour. Somebody had, like, jimmied it open. They were like, it looked like there should be something in there. They didn't break anything, but that thing was gone.
Bunch of savages in this town.
Like, holy shit. So that'll be interesting to see. So they're going to allow people to stand in line and use the gold crapper. So if you're in New York City, go to the Guggenheim if you want to take marvelous facilities, best facilities in New York.
Yeah, that's pretty special.
Yeah, so
that's definitely special. So you can make it happen.
Make it happen. Got to do some thinking. Read a paper right in there.
The best.
You could read about the yachts on the toilet in there, feeling like you're ready to buy a yacht.
Mm.
If I'm sitting on a gold toilet, I'm ready to buy one of those yachts.
Well, I think if you got a yacht, you'd have to have a gold toilet on it as well. I mean,
now I'm just saying, we had a story a few weeks ago, and I'm wearing my gold shirt to use that gold toilet.
Oh, the guy who got killed, yeah, the crazy Indian guy with the $300,000 shirt.
It's right. You wear that $300, like, he's not wearing it anymore, unless they buried him with it.
Yeah, he is, definitely.
You take out that gold shirt, you go use the gold toilet. They'll be like, oh, sir, this is your toilet.
This is all you.
It's meant for you.
Yep. All right. Yeah. So I think that about wraps it up for the week, huh?
Yeah. Went to the lowest depths for that one. But
we certainly did. There's a lot of low depths this week.
We squeezed that one out.
Ew. All right. So thank you guys so much for listening. I'm amazed you guys got through this whole thing. Check us out, SkiBumPodcast.com. Check us out on social media, Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast, Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast. And please go to iTunes, Stitcher, subscribe, rate us. We'd really appreciate it. And we look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Stay high, stay falutin'.
See ya.